Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv Khanna for immigration.com. This is a community conference call. Today is Thursday, October 8th, 2009. This call is being recorded. If you do not wish your voice to be recorded, please hang up now. Remember to keep your identity confidential. This call will be publicly displayed and people will hear it. So if you feel that there's something you want to keep confidential, please feel free to do so. This call does not mean we are your lawyers and you are our clients until we sign something in writing with you. That does not happen. Everything that we tell you is basically in a civic spirit, and we are trying to help the community as best as we can. Let me get to the questions. I before the call, I had said that I will not get time for any new questions. I think we have more than enough questions already. And also, there's a question on DV lottery that I will not answer because I don't do DV lottery cases. You don't want my advice on that, okay? Coming to first question, AskKid1980, community member says, I know it is hard to predict when priority dates will become current. Any idea when EB2 priority dates will be current? No idea, sir. That question is impossible for me to answer. Next question is from Tanu0116, citizenship application. I'm preparing for my application. Application is based on 5 years as LPR. Wife is an LPR. Kids are U.S. citizens. Total days outside less than 100 days in 5 years, or approximately 100 days. No traffic citation, nothing. But wife and kids have been out a lot. So his questions are, will my wife's extended stay outside the country have any bearing on my application? Not at all. Would it be necessary to have my wife in town while my application is being processed? No, sir. Reason being, I've read about IOs asking as to why all stay at the current address, etc. None of that is relevant. You are here, why they shouldn't care about the family. Does this warrant me to take some extra documentation? No, sir. If my wife decides to apply for her citizenship, will she have a chance, and do I need to hire the services of an attorney? We would have to look at her case. I mean, I can't really predict that. Any stays over 6 months can become problematic unless there's a good explanation for that. Next question, GC error. Somebody received their green card in error. Later on, INS is now calling and saying, well, we approved your case without the priority date being current, so now you've got to give your green card back. So the question is there anything we can do? And the answer is no. When INS makes a mistake, there really isn't much you can do. You can't hold them to their errors. Okay, so you're going to have to surrender that green card and get your EAD and AP. Next question, Akash001, citizenship application and spouse visa. Okay, I'm a green card holder. Citizenship interview is on 26th of October. Wife is on F1. OPT expires 15th February. Can I file for my wife's green card before oath ceremony? No. Not as it, because you're not a citizen until you take the oath. If her green card application is still pending and her OPT expires, does she need to go back to India? No, she does not. What you do is apply for her I-130 and 485 together. Then she will get her EAD under the I-130, 485 combo within 90 days or so. Can I travel abroad on an Indian passport even after I have passed a citizenship interview? Yes, you can. But, I'm not sure when they pick your green card. I think they take your green card after the interview, at the oath, but I'm not sure. If you don't have a green card, you will need some kind of a stamp on your passport. Check with them what the procedure for that is. As far as the passport is concerned, I don't have any problem with that. Okay? You can travel on that. Because until you get sworn in, you're still an Indian citizen. Woonab says, labor got filed in a company. Our group, 150 people, used to do projects for Company 2. Suddenly Company 2 decided to take whole group to their company. Can Company 2 use the same labor for me? Well, the answer is maybe. Maybe. It depends upon a bunch of factors. The most important thing is if the job remains in the same geographical location, it remains the same job, and whether or not the successor in interest definition is met. Successor in interest. There's a memorandum out from INS just a couple of weeks ago that deals with this issue in detail. It's a complex issue. I would advise you to let your lawyers take care of it, but it is certainly possible. It is possible that your green card can be taken over by the second company. Consultant 007 says, I-140 denied. Filed appeal, 485 still pending. I need to travel to India on AP. You see, here's what happens. If your I-140 is denied, technically that 485 is also denied. I don't think you can travel on that advanced parole. I've heard some whispers from INS on this issue that, you know, maybe the 485 is still kept in abeyance, but I'm not convinced about this. In my view, when you knock off the first floor of a building, the second floor goes away automatically. So I-140, which is the basis or the first floor of the building, I-485 being the second floor, how can the second floor survive without the first floor? At least that's the way I see the law, and I don't know of any INS rulings, anything in writing to the contrary. Okay. Now, how long does it take to get the appeal results? You just have to go to our website, look at the right-hand side column where it says status checks and times, and just click on Administrative Appeals Office. It'll give you an idea. I think it's a couple of years. Your attorney thinks that there's a good chance of getting an I-140 approval. So you have a lot of questions, and I don't have enough time here. You've got 6 or 7 fairly lengthy questions. How do I check if my 45 is still pending? I don't think you can. Leave that to your lawyers. In my view, the 45 is automatically denied. Refile I-140, I think that's a good idea. But the problem is, if you refile an I-140, there is a possibility that they'll keep the second I-140 pending until the appeal is decided. Can I file new advanced parole? I don't think that's a good idea, sir. In my view, that 485 is iffy. I'm in contact with another company to file PERM. If they file a new PERM, can I use my newly filed I-140 and bring my I-485 status back? No. You could have done that before the current I-140 was denied. If your I-140 is denied, the 45 is now gone. If the I-140 is reinstated, then 45 is reinstated, then of course you can get an I-140 through another company and interfile it. Can I use AC-21? No. Next question, Edison 2003-2002. Wow, that's a long one. Okay, citizenship application address update with INS. I've been a permanent resident for the last 5 years, planning to apply for citizenship. I've given permanent address of my friend who has his own house. That's always a bad idea. You should give your own address. I got the green card with the same address. I've never filed an AR-11. Technically, if you don't file an AR-11, INS can deport you. However, as a practical matter, I don't know if they are going to make a big issue of it. I don't think so. Okay? You should apply for an address change now. It's not a bad idea, simply because it's a good thing to, you know, as soon as you wake up as to what you should be doing, go ahead and do it. Voluntary correction at least gives you something to hang on to. So just go ahead and file the AR-11 now. You know, file the AR-11, and we'll see what happens with the citizenship interview. I don't think it should be a problem, but be prepared for issues, and if there are issues, you may want to contact us at that time. Next question is Bhatti. A few questions related to labor certification. Working for an American company full-time, not consulting, located in Texas. Labor certification filed 2 months ago. Looks like there's going to be a layoff at our location. Headquarters is in Florida. This is not a consulting company. If I move to another location, do I need to file a new LC? Yes. Yes. A labor certification is specific to a job location. When we file for jobs that are movable, what is called roving employees, we file through the corporate headquarters. Then you can be working anywhere. But if your labor cert was filed from Texas, and Texas does not remain your job location, and there is no chance that you will be brought back to Texas upon approval of your green card, you have to file your green card all over again. Okay? Then the next one is, I'm working for Company A and my LC has been filed. There's an American citizen who works in this company. If the American citizen is laid off, do I need to file a new LC? No, no. If an LC has been filed, a perm has been filed, and somebody gets laid off later, another employee, I don't think that's a problem. You don't have to do anything. Next question, People PC. People C. He wanted to know whether we are even required to file an AC-21 letter with the INS. And the question is, you do not. And if you will notice, somebody has actually responded to your question saying that I did not inform INS and my old employer revoked my I-140. Next thing is, my 45 is now being revoked. So that's a very real possibility, although you'll be able to convince INS not to revoke it because it's your right to use AC-21. Read my blog on this issue. I have covered this issue in detail in several postings. So please read my blog. Very clearly, you are not required to file an AC-21 letter, but it is always a good idea. And the do's and the don'ts are too many for me to go through, but do go through my blog. If something is still unclear, we can discuss it in the next conference call that we do for the community, okay? Citizenship application legal name issue. Permanent resident for the past 5 years. So there is some issue about how they have presented their Shri has presented their permanent name, their legal name. Well, look, here is what you do, Shri. When you've used various names throughout your immigration process or throughout your life, now is a good time to decide what you want to be. Choose whatever name you like. Okay? So let's say if your name was Adam Sam Smith and you want to convert it to Sam Adam Smith, in the labor certification application, in the citizenship application, put yourself down as Sam Adam Smith. When it says other names used, put Adam Sam Smith, Adam Smith, Sam Smith, whatever else you've used in the past. So in other words, prepare your naturalization application in the name that you wish to be using for the rest of your life. Prepare your application with that name. Okay? And that should take care of it. After you've done that, you can then correct your other documents, including your Social Security, your driver's license, etc. Priya Naidu. I'm on H-1B working for a company in New York. Planning to get married to a green card holder. When I get married to this green card holder, would I be eligible to apply for a work permit? No. You can apply for a green card, but you will not get a work permit until you file your 485, which could be 6-7 years ago away. Okay? So get married today, you can file I-130, but you can't file 485. That you have to wait for several years. And you are not allowed to stay in USA just because your I-130 has been filed. So getting married to a green card holder does not give you the right to stay or to work. Once he gets his citizenship, then of course you get the right to work as well as you get a quick green card. That was Priya. Mohan 1. H-1B extension after filing LC. I am on H-1B visa and working for a company A. LC was filed in July. LC is in pending status. Completing 6 years in July 30th, 2010. Once I get my H-1B extension, if I move to another company B, would I be able to use company A's H-1B extension? Well, the way it works is, let's say you've got your seventh year extension. The labor cert is still pending. You move companies. Now you want to get the transfer. There you will have to show that the labor cert is still pending. As long as the labor cert is still pending or the I-140 is still pending, It doesn't matter who filed the labor cert or the I-140. You can get the extension through Company B, even though labor cert or I-140 was filed by Company C. Okay? That's not a problem. But if they withdraw the labor cert, then you won't be able to get the extension. What are the options? Well, you would have to start your green card very quickly with the second company and hope to capitalize on that. There are some issues there. I would certainly recommend that you discuss this in great detail with your lawyer before you take any definitive steps, because there are some questions in that area as well. Make sure the timing is right. Make sure if there is a gap in the employment, Company B can afford to let you go for a few months and then bring you back again on H-1. Next question is, Tola, I and my wife and daughter are all in AOS. My employer has filed for 90-year H-1 extension. My daughter is over 21. She can't get an H-4. Once she gets over 21, she cannot get an H-4. The only thing I would be looking at is the CSPA, Child Status Protection Act. I'm not sure why the counselor told you that she cannot travel. I don't see any reason for that. I mean, she should be able to travel. I don't see any problem with that. Why would she lose her status? I don't understand that. So you may want to check with your lawyer about the CSPA implications of what is going on. But if the CSPA protects her, then traveling, even though she does not have H-4 status, she can get advanced parole. That's not a problem. Okay. Next question is GCNSC 2003. Okay, he's got an I-140 EB-2 and I-485 EB-3 pending with AAO. So two appeals are pending, EB-2 and EB-3. And right now, he's used his EAD to join the Company C. Where did you get the EAD from? If both cases are in appeal, technically the EAD should be also gone. Okay. I know that INS, as a matter of policy, may not be revoking these 485s, but I've never seen anything in writing that says it's okay for you to continue using your EAD. I mean, there are two schools of thought here. The more conservative one is that you should go back on H-1B. And not use the EAD. The more aggressive one says, hey, until they revoke my 485, I'm going to continue using the EAD. So I'm not sure what's going on here. But they have transferred your case to Administrative Appeals Office. That's not to speed up the processing, really. That's the normal procedure. Okay? So, and your facts are, you know, I'm a little fuzzy on them, but I do understand that you've got two cases pending and all these questions are based upon that. So question number one, is working on EAD in future going to affect my green card citizenship? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think it should, but really it depends upon how aggressive you want to be. I would prefer that you go back onto H-1, which you can. Number two, I-485 transfer, is it going to speed up my green card process? I think that transfer is a routine process. It will not speed up your green card process. Question number three, two appeals pending with AAO. Is it going to make my case more complicated and denial chances also more? No, I don't think so. Do I have to do something to keep clean and clear, and what is the future of my case one and two? Sir, here's what you need to do. You need to show your cases, both your cases, to somebody who can assess them and see realistically if you're going to get approved. If you're not going to get approved, you need to file a third case. All from the very beginning. Okay? Next question, N. Khalil, visiting U.S. while immigration application is in process. Can my mother visit USA under her previous visitor visa while her green card application is going on? We are doing consular processing. The answer is, Khalil, there is no law that says she cannot. Let me rephrase that. There is actually, chances of her being allowed into USA are small. But for mothers of US citizens, immediate relatives, INS and CBP are likely to be a lot more tolerant. My concern is, even if there is a 1% chance that a CBP officer at the border, at the airport, could tell her, oh no, sorry, your green card is going on, you can't come in, go back, would you like to take that chance? If you like to take that chance, even though it is a 1 or 2 or 3% chance, who knows how the CBP officers think. Under the law, she is considered to be an immigrant, so she may not be allowed to use a tourist visa, but again, there is a doctrine of dual intent, which is applicable in many cases, and you know that can be argued here, but that is within the discussion of the CBP. So it's up to you if you want to take that chance. If not, let her get her green card and then bring her in. Okay? Next question is Dame. Raghu, oh no, Dame. Bringing, or Dame, bringing relatives, aunt, uncle to USA. I'm planning to bring my mom and family visitor's visa. Since my dad cannot accompany her, I'm planning to bring my aunt, mother, sister with her. Also, mom and mom, sister is coming. Is my aunt eligible for this category, family visit B2? Sure, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it advisable for both of them to go together? Yes, you should. If my aunt's visa gets rejected, will it affect my mom's visa as well? No, it shouldn't. These are two separate applications. But, you know, I see no reason why they both should not go together. Raghu, to end, immigration question on adopting a relative child. You are going to adopt a relative's child for adoption. Look, we've just towards the end of doing an adoption for an Indian child, and we did it under Hague Convention. Hague Convention, that is the current law now. You may want to look at the adoption pages. I think there is enough information there on our website and see what it says. Okay? There is no 2-year custody requirement if the child is abandoned or given up for adoption, as far as I know. Okay? So if they give the child for adoption, you should be able to do the adoption without the 2-year custody requirement. Would you have to go through the court? You would have to go through the court under the Hague procedures. Under Hague Convention, you have to go through the court. Now, I hope I'm telling you the correct information. I don't recall running into this particular circumstance. We do adoption for orphans or children who are living in orphanages all the time. Children, I don't recall. But I think if the child is given up for adoption irrevocably, there should not be a problem. They should be treated just like an abandoned or an orphan child. But I could be wrong. Okay. So off the top of my head, I can't answer all your questions, Raghu. You should look into the page that we have set up for adoption. I think that has a lot of information. If you are still missing some information, feel free to send me an email through contact us form. Okay. Remind me that you had left us. I had answered your question in one of the community conference calls. I'll see what I can do for you. Okay. Next question is Utopia 2004. Me and my boyfriend are getting married. I need to get a green card. He is a U.S. citizen. He has passed felonies, has a warrant for parole violation. He needs to serve another 4 months. He's living in another state, so he has skipped parole. He can't be arrested, but with the outstanding warrant, can our application not be approved? I have never looked at this. I do not know, even though you don't have any convictions, I do not know what the effect of, incomplete sentence service and his past convictions is. I'm sorry, I have no idea. Okay, I haven't looked at this law at all. Next question is Raj MH. I-140 approved, H-1B extension, driver's license. I left a note on the driver's license issue day before yesterday on my blog, and I told people that driver's license is a state-level issue. There is nothing you can do at the federal level. So whether or not you can get an extension of the driver's license, it all depends upon the state law. Okay. Now, the next question is it safe for me to change employers? I'm looking for residency in similar other field with the assurance to the college to come back when dates become current. They have promised me they will not withdraw my I-140 EB-2, which is for a clinical research associate. You're right. As long as you have a good explanation for why you have taken a job elsewhere and how you intend to come back to the green card job, what you do in the interim is entirely your business. As long as there's a good common sense explanation for why you are doing this, I don't see any reason why you cannot go and start working for another employer while you are waiting for your category to become current. Is it true that H-1B visa for physicians is going to be scrapped? I have never heard that. The only reason hospitals or universities don't like doing H-1s is that they have to pay salaries that are determined by OES, by the Department of Labor, instead of J-1, which does not have any salary restrictions, and the hospital can pay whatever they want. So the salary is the only reason that I can think of. Of course, there are more paper-keeping requirements on H-1B, but there is no law that I know of that says physicians cannot get H-1, nor is such a law being contemplated. Max007. Okay, this is somebody who had posted a response as to where the 485 was recently denied because AC-21 letter was not received. So if you don't submit AC-21 letter, they can deny your 485. Good. Thank you for your input, sir. Appreciate it. Next question is Max007, AP expired while traveling. Now, what happened with them is they miscalculated their time and they were outside USA for more than 10 days after AP had expired. So when they came back, they were put through deferred inspection and they want to know whether the 485 will be denied, and the answer is yes. It probably will be. What you can argue, and I don't think it's a very good argument, what you can argue is there is in law something called technical mistake or technical error. INS is authorized to approve 485s where an error is merely a technical error. But their definition of what a technical error is under the regulation is very, very narrow. However, about 3-4 months ago, one of the district courts, and remember district court rulings are not binding on INS, one of the district courts, federal courts, had said that INS's ruling or INS's definition of technical error is too narrow and that the regulations need to be expanded. So you can take those arguments, since you are pretty desperate, you can take all these arguments and see what happens. Next question is from Jeet Marwaha. EAD and filing for unemployment. I'm being asked that question a lot. I don't know of any law that says you cannot apply for unemployment. The only time it could be a problem is this. Let us say you are working for IBM and you are working on your EAD. They are the ones who applied for your green card. Now, IBM lays you off. The only time it could become a problem is if INS says to you, your green card employer has laid you off before you became eligible for AC-21, so your green card is now gone. That's one circumstance. Second circumstance in which it can become a problem is if INS just notices this gap and you have not done an AC-21 transfer. So in that context, where you are getting laid off and you're not qualified for AC-21, I think it could become a problem. But otherwise, filing for unemployment benefits on AC-21, I don't see any reason why that should be a problem. I have not yet seen any legal reason for it. If you are aware of something, please feel free to share it with me. Okay? And you can send me an email through contact us form on immigration.com. Next question is, I be the one naturalization eligibility. I am married to a U.S. citizen, and I received my conditional green card in January 2009. My spouse wants to go to a medical school in Caribbean. Yeah, their question is, under the regulations for N-400, for citizenship, you want to apply through your spouse, you have to be living together. So what if you are living in two different locations? So I don't know the answer to that question. I have no idea. I have no idea. This is a very fine point of the law. What if we are not living together? Here's what I can suggest to you. Save yourself some money in hiring a lawyer to look at this issue. What you do is, contact your local congressman's office and tell them you would like an answer to this question. They should be able to find out the answer for you, and that answer hopefully will be definitive and will give you some good guidance. Preferably, get it in writing. So contact your congressman. They should be able to help you resolve this question. Okay? Next question is Nish J. Marriage after green card. My background. I got a family-based green card in November 2005. I took 2 years extension to stay in India to complete my education. Came back in December 2007. Since then, I'm staying in the U.S. I'm getting married. My fiancé is in India and has an H-1B from this quota, not stamped yet. Will there be any problems entering the U.S. on H-1B after the marriage? No, it should not be. It should not be. Remember, H-1B is a dual intent visa. So even if you are married, they should not be able to stop your wife from coming into the U.S. So before or after marriage, as far as I know, there should be no difference. Okay? And I would certainly want you to apply for her green card once you get your citizenship. I think it's a lot cleaner that way. Some people suggest that you apply for I-130 even while you're on green card and then upgrade the case. That's another way to go. But I usually just do the I-130-485 together. It's a matter of personal preference. Is there any issue if I wait for my citizenship to go through and her work on here and let her work on it? Yeah, no problem at all. I don't see any problem in the citizenship process if she continues to work on H-1B. No problem at all. Ramesh, sorry, you have a DV question. I don't do that, so I can't answer that question. Kartik 111. I have a question related to H-1B. I'm on H-1B working for a company A. If I get laid off, how long do I have to stay in USA? There is no grace period. I have written a very extensive article on this on our blog. Please read my blog. You have absolutely no grace period, but you may be able to apply for a tourist visa and get yourself some time even though you don't get the tourist visa. Read up on my blog. You have a lot of information on what to do if I get terminated on H-1. Okay. By the way, what they do is my blog, they keep moving entries from my blog to the frequently asked questions also. So you can always run a search on frequently asked questions as well on our website. Okay. Kalyan 23, I'm on H-1B, planning to get married to a green card holder. My fiance will be getting her U.S. citizenship in May 2010. Currently, she has a green card. Can I get married to her when she has green card? Yes, you can. Or would you suggest you wait? There's no need for you to wait. If I need to wait, you don't need to wait. You can get married anytime. I just answered that question for somebody else also. So, same idea. You can get married anytime. GC, good guy. Working on H-1 with two employers, Company A and Company B, and filing extension. Well, first of all, if you have two H-1B approvals, that does not mean you can work for both employers at the same time. Most H-1 approvals are given for single employment. If you want to do more than two employers, more than one employer, you have to file for concurrent H-1. Okay? So if you're working for employer A and you also want to work for employer B, through B, you file an H-1, or even now, if you want, you can refile the H-1 and check H-1 is for concurrent employment. Okay? So that is what is required. I'm currently working for company A. My H-1 is valid. I have H-1 from company B. Can I work for both companies together? Already answered that question. If company B is applying for extension, will there be any problem getting extension to the same employer as I have nothing like pay stubs? I have everything like pay stubs and W-2. Well, if you have pay stubs and W-2 and you can get a client letter, and if you want to know what the client letters look like, read my article. It's coming out this month in American Bar Association, American Law Institute publication for continuing legal education called The Practical Lawyer. In that article, I've described what kind of letter should be provided. Okay. You can't work concurrently on these cases. You can, of course, if you move to EAD, you can be working on EAD for as many companies as you like. But if you want to maintain your H-1, then you have to file the second H-1 as a concurrent H-1. So that was the last question. We did well. We did everything in about 40 minutes. So we have 20 minutes left to discuss, actually more than that, almost 24 minutes left to discuss everybody's questions. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to put us in question and answer mode. If you have a question, you need to press star 6 to talk with me. One by one, please. Go ahead. Start.
Mohan, one.
Yeah, Mohan, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rajiv. I hope you're doing well. This is regarding moving from company A to company B. You answered my question. Thank you very much. But I have a follow-up question.
Sure.
If I move to company B while my current company A's labor certification is not approved and H-1B extension is not obtained from my company A, then can I go to company B and start labor certification process? Because I already filed labor certification with company A before I entered into 6th year of H-1B.
Okay. So the question is this. I'm right now working for company A. My labor cert is pending. I'm still in the first 6 years of my H-1. Now I move over to company B. First question is, can I get extension of my H-1 beyond 6 years based upon A's filing, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
That I already answered. I said, yes, you can. Now, the follow-up, I don't understand. What is the follow-up on that?
Let's say if I move to company B, while my current company's labor certification is not approved and the H-1B extension, I did not get it yet. And then, can I go to company B and start my labor certification process? Because I already...
You can start your labor cert process at any time. There are two parts to your question. Can I move to company B and get H-1 extension? And can I file my green card? Let me answer the second question. That's easy. You can file your green card through 20 different companies. That's not a problem. As long as you have the good faith intention of joining whichever one you like later on. Okay? So, filing a green card is no problem. Timing of...
No, sir. Actually, I don't have time to go to company B and start my labor certification because my 6 years will be completed by July 2010. So, I only have like 8 months. So, if I go to company B, I cannot start my green card processing all over again. I cannot file for my labor certification because that itself is taking like 8 months.
You see, what I'm thinking is this. Labor cert filing should take about 4 months. Okay? So let's say, if it's excessive, like, you know, you can't get documents and other problems, maybe 5 or 6 months. But normally 4 months is what we take, 4 to 5 months in filing the green card application. Okay?
Okay.
So the question here is only this. You see, we need enough time for you to have 12 months after 6 months, 12 months after 6 months, to get subsequent H-1 extensions. So you need about 18 months under your belt to be safe to get extensions to company B, right?
Okay.
Okay, that's my math. All right? So in my view, that is possible as long as company A does not withdraw your labor cert.
So okay.
If A does not withdraw your labor certification, then there will be no interruption in your work. However, if you move with just 8 months remaining on your H-1, and you get your labor cert filed after 6 months, now you've got only 2 months. You'll have to be outside USA for 10 months. Once you're outside USA for 10 months, your company B labor cert will be then pending for 12 months. You will be able to get H-1 extension and come back.
Okay, so you are saying that if I move to company B, just to confirm my understanding, if I move to company B, then company while even though the company A's labor certification is not approved or I did not obtain my H-1B extension, but still I can go to company B and I can start my new labor, because even though I'm in sixth year, I can file a new labor and I can get an extension with company B?
Based upon company A's labor certification.
Even though it is not approved and even though I did not get my approval extension with company A?
That is absolutely correct.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Sorry?
There is no law that says in order for you to get extension with B, you must first get an extension with A. No such law.
So because I have applied, because company A filed my labor...
All that is required is A labor certification, any labor certification was filed for you more than 1 year ago.
Okay, then I can go to company B and I can start my new labor.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Rajiv. And if I have any follow-up question, can I take a consultant?
Of course, that's what I do for a living. So welcome to do so, but why waste money on me? Go talk with the lawyers who are going to do the green card. Explain to them the situation. They should be able to guide you. This is not rocket science. You know.
Hello, Rajiv.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck. Yes, sir. Hello.
Yes, sir. This is consultant 007, Rajiv.
One moment, Mr. Bond, just a second. consultant 007. Okay,
just a second.
Let me find you. I want to make sure I understand what your question is.
This is successor and interest question on
I-140. I got it. Yeah, the 150, is that the case? No.
Yeah, I-140 denied and filed for appeal.
Appeal 2, you have need to travel India, I need filing I-140. Oh, yes. Your appeal was denied apparently erroneously. And yeah, I got your question. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, Rajiv. So I have this question that I-140 got denied and they applied for appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Now the appeal is pending. So my lawyer, he is saying that they wanted to refile the I-140 because they have denied the I-140 in error.
Stop one second.
Sure.
If you look at INS's memorandum,
sure.
There's one memorandum a few months ago which actually said, if you file a second case while the appeal is pending,
sure.
We will hold the second case until the appeal is decided. I have gotten at least one such approval within the last couple of months on this issue. So, the answer to your question is, there may come a situation where you would have to withdraw the appeal.
Sure.
In order to get judgment or adjudication on your second I-140.
Sure.
However, there is a chance they might approve it because INS is well known for not knowing its own memorandum. They keep on doing things without realizing what the central, what the law has been or what the policy has been decided. So, yes, you can certainly try that. That's not a bad way to go.
Sure, but Rajiv, if we withdraw the appeal, then there are chances that, they will deny my I-485,
right? The thing is, that is a choice you'll have to make, if at all you have to make. What if they just approve the I-140, like they did for me?
One of our clients
was stuck in a similar situation. We just filed the I-140 like your lawyer is planning to do. I think it's a good move. Okay.
So they will bring the I-485 pending into back? I mean, like, they will
that I don't think they will. Because that I-140 and 45 are connected. You can certainly make an appeal for it. Because these are questions that are, really up in the air. Nobody quite knows the answer.
Okay.
You can certainly make a special request in the second I-140 that because this I-140 was denied in error,
sure.
The appeal was filed merely to correct that small error, and that the subsequent I-140 is also being filed to correct that error. So everything actually relates to that first I-140 that we filed. Therefore, please restore my I-485.
Sure. Also, Rajiv, I have, I fear that most of the appeals, that we file, they get denied. Only 5% success chances are there.
Yeah, about 4-5%. But in your case, this can be an easy case to win if the definition of successor in interest is met. Okay? And again, your lawyers would know what that definition is. And they would know if that definition applies to your situation. And if it does, then it's really a simple case to win.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay, Rajiv. Let's see how that goes. Thank you so much, Rajiv.
Good luck to you, sir.
Hi, Rajiv.
Oh, yes, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is 9007.
Which one, I'm sorry?
Advanced Pro, it's Firewall Traveling.
Now, what is your community name?
Max 007.
Max?
007.
Let me just pull out your case. I got it. Yeah, I got it. Go ahead, please.
You said that there was I can argument based on technical
error. Yeah, technical error.
Do you know CFR code?
Yes. Do I know the code? Give me one second. I'll actually even give you the name of the case.
Okay.
The case in which INS says that technical error should be forgiven, but then they did not forgive this particular Iranian guy who was in access waiver. And court said, your definition is the regulation narrow. No, that definition is wrong. Sir, everybody put yourself on mute, please, unless you're talking to me. Thank you. Okay, let me look for your case. Okay. Okay, write this down if you want. Give me a second, I'm opening this case. It's about a 15-page case. This is a case decided by the United States District Court of California. The name of the plaintiff is Arzang, A-R, Z as in zebra, H as in Henry, A, N as in Nancy, G as in girl. Arzang, last name is Ali Moradi, A-L-I-M-O-R-A-D as in doctor, I, versus USCIS. So Arzang Ali Moradi versus USCIS. It was decided in 2009. Hang on. The case number is CV, C as in Charlie, V as in Victor, 08-02529. That's the case number. Central District of California. United States District Court for the Central District of California. Your lawyer should be able to download this case.
Okay.
And let's see. What is the regulation? Let me see where the regulation is. Give me a second. I'm a little new with this stupid software. It's driving me nuts. Can't even see how to change page. Oh yeah, here it is. Okay. The law section which contains technical error rule is 8 U.S.C., that is United States Code, 8 U.S.C. 1255 C as in Charlie, small c, 8 U.S.C. 1255 C. That's the law section, and the regulation section is 8 CFR. Now, this appears to be wrong. Hang on one second. Let me confirm this. The court has made a mistake, I think. It is under 8 U.S.C. section 245.1, small d, 2. So, d in brackets and 2 in brackets. It should be 8 CFR 245.1, D in brackets and 2 in brackets. That's the name of the regulation. Court has said it is 1245.1D2. I think they are wrong. It is not 1245, it's 245.
Okay.
Okay. So that's where the regulations are. And the court said, wait a minute, your regulations are not good. they have to be expanded. You can, that is the only argument you have. It's a very long shot, but argue it.
I know. And do you have any experience in a different section? Because they have held my different section. What will happen at the CPC?
They have held your what? I'm sorry?
They have held my passport, so I'm going for the...
Well, they'll have section. To. They'll have to. Once they, if they decide that you need to leave, they'll give you your passport back. By the way, I want to point out one thing to you. Remember, if a 485 is denied because you traveled outside, it does not mean you can't file it again. It also does not mean that you cannot apply through consular process.
Well, the thing is, if I apply for the consular process, AC-21 doesn't apply.
It does not. Are you, were you on AC-21 when you did this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is something you should take to federal court, actually, because you may have a chance of winning. Just like this gentleman did, although it's a very difficult case to win. But who knows? You never know if a judge looks at it and, you know, realizes. And you know what I would also argue if I was your lawyer? I would say, look, sir, AC-21 was a law that was passed by Congress to give relief to people like you who had been suffering for 6, 7, 8, 9 years staying at the same job, not being able to take a promotion. Okay? So, in the spirit of that law, INS must read all its provisions, including that strict provision against advance parole expiration, in the light of that remedial law, that law that tries to remedy things. You know, we are trying to help people, not hurt people. Therefore, this should be considered to be merely a technical violation in the unique circumstances of this case. Try arguing that. Let's see what happens.
I see. And the second question, what are the chances of getting H-1 extension based on this one?
Well, sir, if your 485 gets denied and you don't have any other access to 485, getting an H-1 extension is very difficult because you don't have an I-140 pending or approved. Once 485 is denied, I-140 is deemed gone.
Right. Okay. And... to get an H-1 extension, the labor has to be pending for 1 year. I cannot just apply for the new labor and get an H-1 extension.
No, sir, you cannot. It has to be pending or it has to have been filed more than a year ago.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Tanu, 0116.
Just one second. Tanu, T-A-N-U. Citizenship application. Wife is an LPR, kids are U.S. citizens. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, so I understand from your answers that
you have no
my
connection.
Wife...
You have no connection
okay.
with your wife, no problem at all.
Okay, but my fourth question in that was like, I mean, how do we go proceed with my wife's application?
I don't know the answer to that question. I have to go over her entire stay history. Why was she outside? What exactly happened?
So do you want me to schedule a consultation?
You may want to do that, or better still... if you are going to take a lawyer, get somebody locally. For citizenship applications, if you want somebody to go with you, it is cost
okay.
prohibitive to hire people from outside the city. Okay?
I see, okay.
So if you have competent lawyers where you stay, just get yourself somebody locally, do a consultation with them. What is the point of talking to me? I mean,
okay.
obviously you have to take your money. It's just that your money is better spent on a local lawyer. However, if you come to a situation where you feel that, you know what, and we have people like this from all over the country who say, you know what, Rajiv, we've been dealing with you for years and we only want to work with you. We don't care whether you come to the interview or not. As long as we know you are filing the application, we are fine. We'll be happy to assist. In that case, if you make up your mind you want us to do the application, then come talk to me.
Okay. But do you think we should just go ahead and I should just go ahead and apply and...
you should definitely apply. No question in my mind about that.
Okay.
Because, you see, let me put it to you this way. God forbid something goes wrong with her application. Or she can't make it back. She overstays her re-entry permit. She loses her green card. If you are a citizen,
okay.
you can bring her back in again in 6 months.
I see. Okay.
If you are not a citizen, she'll have to wait 7 years or whenever you become a citizen. After that, 6, 7 months more. So, yeah, get your citizenship. One member in the family having citizenship means the whole family is safe.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Rajiv.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yeah, this is Una.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, V-O-O-N-N-E-A-B. Una.
V-O?
V for Victor, O for Orange. O for Orange, N for Nancy, N for Nancy.
I got
F,
it.
F.
I got it. 150 people.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So how do I convince my attorney? Because yesterday I spoke to her. Yeah.
There is a memorandum on. Do me a favor. Send me an email through contact us form.
Okay.
Mr. Rajiv, we talked on the conference call today. I want that memorandum on successor in interest.
Okay. Yep.
Show them the memorandum. It actually deals with the situation where only a group is taken, not the whole company.
Yeah, because I'm in the same position and same company, same office, everything is same.
You might be able to save that and just file I-140 for the successor company.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll send an email. Thank you very much.
Good luck, sir.
Yep.
Yeah, send me an email. I'll send you that memorandum.
Sure.
Take it to your lawyers and show it to them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Raju. This is Pati.
Spell your name.
B-H-A-T-I.
Oh, yes, Bhatti. Okay, yes.
Yeah, this is regarding working in two different states.
Yeah.
Right now, my labor certification has been filed in Texas. And
You see, if your labor cert is filed from Texas and the Texas location is closing down, that green card is gone.
Because
the location is being kept open and they will bring you back upon approval of your green card, that labor cert can go on.
We have different departments, Mr. Rajiv.
Okay, listen to me.
Sorry.
So if the Texas is kept open and they have the intention to bring you back, they can file I-140, even 485 eventually. And after 180 days of 485, you never have to go to Texas.
Okay.
You can use AC-21 to move to any office of the company.
Okay, because there are about 10 departments and I'm working for research and development department. And what if my department, entire department is closed down, but company in Texas is still there?
If they have the intention, the future intention of bringing you back, they can
even though my department is not there. Okay.
Even though department is there, we don't care about that. If they have the intention to bring you back, great. Continue with the green card after 180 days of 45. You are free as a bird to move wherever. But they must right now have the intention to bring you back.
Okay, because the thing is, he's an American lawyer. He does not listen to anybody. And he says that getting employee involved is illegal and against the federal law. So how can I convince
you? You can pay for them this recording. I do believe that I'm fairly competent in what I do. Just pay for them this recording. They have any doubts about that, any questions about that, I'll be happy to do a consultation for your company or for your lawyer.
Thank you. And also, how can I convince my company attorney that I will be coming back to Texas? And
the process is based upon intention. This whole green card process is based upon good faith intention. If the company does not have the good faith intention of bringing you back, they cannot process the green card. But if they do have the intention, the funny thing is they will never have to bring you back because using AC-21, you will not need to go back.
Okay.
But the intention must be there. That is the key.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Rajiv. I appreciate it.
Good luck, sir.
Thanks.
Folks, anybody else has any questions? Wow, this was perfect. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ajay.
Oh, I thought Ajay, we were going to get done. Okay, Ajay, what is your question?
You have time, right?
You haven't posted anything? Okay, hang on one second. Anybody who has posted anything has a question? Good. Ajay, go ahead. I have time.
Okay. I am on 7th year extension and filed for 8th year extension, actually.
Okay.
H1B extension. And another company had filed labor for me, like in 2005. The labor got approved. After filing I-140, they closed after like 8-9 months later. They closed down that office. Like,
but you got the I-140 approval, right?
No, I did not get the I-140 approval. They had to withdraw the I-140 approval.
Oh, okay.
So, now the situation is like, I filed for the extension hoping that they might overlook it, but I don't think they did. I mean, they asked for in the query that whether you have an I-140. I mean, they didn't ask specifically. They asked me to provide proof how you are eligible. My labor is approved, but I-140 was withdrawn. And the company is not ready to file it because it's saying the office is closed. We cannot file I-140 for any other location
Because
the labor was at location.
Right.
So my lawyer right now is saying, well, your only option is to basically go for, apply tourist visa and see what happens. My question was should I wait for them to reject if at all they reject?
Here is what you should do. You should, has the I-140 been filed at all? What has been done?
It was I-140 was filed, like, it was pending for like 8-9 months, and then they withdrew it because INS, I think, came down upon them to because of
then,
the location.
There is nothing you can do. You're going to have to start the process all over again.
I have to start.
Yeah, there is no other way for us to do anything for you.
I mean, what about the, advice of lawyer to go for, like, H1, I mean, for the tourist visa? I mean, is that a good advice?
See, tourist visa is, first of all, it takes them 4, 5, 6 months to decide on the application. While you are waiting for that application decision, you can stay here, but you cannot work on a tourist visa pending status. And it'll only buy you 4 or 5 months, so what is the big deal?
Only what? Say it again.
It'll only buy you 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, and I cannot work anywhere, right? So I have to go back.
What is the point? I would rather have you go outside. Stay outside for 1 year and pick one again.
There's no rule for I-140 being pending for more than 180 days, and I can change.
No. You see, if I were the company lawyer, I would have found a way to keep the I-140 going, and when it gets denied, file an appeal. And the appeal stays pending for 2 years. For those 2 years, I would have gotten you 2 or 3 H-1 extensions and started another green card in the meantime.
I was trying to convince the company to do that, but they are like very scared. They are saying, oh, INS is very
as long as you do it in good faith, I mean, we could have argued something. I mean, I don't know the facts of your case. Maybe there isn't anything to argue. But that's probably what I would have been focusing on.
Oh, okay. But if there's no way, like, I can ask the same company to file a new labor from some other location?
There's no time. I mean, you can, but you'll have to leave U.S.
I'll have to leave U.S. The rule about leaving U.S., I have to be out physically 12 months, or can I...
You have to be physically outside 12 months. Each day you visit USA, you have to be out that extra time. And if you visit
USA... what about all...
If you visit USA too long, you will have to start the 1 year all over again.
Oh, okay. What about all the vacations that I've taken? Can that be used for that?
You can recapture those vacations. You can extend your H-1 to the extent of your vacation.
Oh, I can extend my H-1 on like...
Any vacation you took during the first 6 years, you can extend them.
I have taken like 8 months of vacation. Can I ask my lawyer to extend
that? If you recapture that time, start another green card process, maybe you'll have to stay outside for less than, 6-7 months.
Okay, but I have to go outside at this stage.
Yeah,
right?
And many of our clients, when they get stuck with that situation, they're just working remotely from their own home country.
Oh, okay, convince my company to allow me to work remotely.
That's perfectly legal. They can pay you on a 1099.
Okay, that sounds good. Or the other option is go on like F1 visa and all that stuff, which is...
Oh, but that doesn't get you back on H1, that's the problem.
Yeah, that doesn't get me back on H1. All right. The only option is I'll have to file my H-1 for my wife, who's in medical field.
Then you'll be here on H-4, but that also doesn't help you. You can't work.
Oh, I'll be on H-4. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you very much.
Good luck, folks. It's past 3
Mr.
now. And
Mr. Rajiv?
Yes, sir.
This is Kalyan 23.
Oh, I asked people if there was any question left.
Sorry, I got disconnected.
Okay, hang on one second. I just deleted all the questions. What was your question, sir?
This is regarding getting married to a green card holder, and she's going to get the green card she's going to get the U.S. citizenship in May 2010.
Right.
So would you suggest that I wait till May 2010? Because if I get married like tomorrow, then do I need to wait like 6 years before I could apply? Or if I get married tomorrow, then again, do I need to file an application in May 2010?
Wait, you're on H-1, right?
Yeah.
Okay, remember one thing. You can get married now, no problem. And then apply for the I-130. When she becomes a citizen, she can upgrade the I-130 and file your 485.
Okay, so I don't have to really technically wait till she gets citizenship and then... Because I was kind of... Because one of my friends was saying that... Of course, he is not a lawyer. He was saying that just I can even rather wait for 6 more months then apply it directly when she gets citizenship rather than...
That's what I do for our clients. It's not because of any particular reason. It's just that I find it easier to just put all the paperwork together in one application.
Okay, because I was just worried that if I get married tomorrow, then I have to wait 6 years.
There's no need to worry. You can get married tomorrow and file application 6 months later, no problem.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Or you can get married tomorrow, file I-130 day after tomorrow, upgrade the application 6 months from now, no problem.
So once she gets, let's say May 2nd, 2010, she gets citizenship. So May 3rd, 2010, can I immediately apply for citizenship?
Yes.
I mean,
yes, you can apply for your I-130 485 package.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Rajiv.
Good luck, sir. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Folks, I have to run. It's 3:05. I had a good chat with you folks. Appreciate your time. See you all soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.